two, rolling. Hello there, Andy and Zach, back again for another episode of the A to Z No BS show. Ooh. With special guest, Summer.
Who's very active today. Tell him.
You think she's appreciated my singing voice?
I think so. She got quiet after you sang.
Yeah. Well, let's hope I don't have to do that on the air.
It's cool. Say hello, Summer. Okay.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I'm just back from a long road trip out to Wilmington, North Carolina. Went to my buddy Nate's wedding.
So, how long were you driving with that?
Oh, pretty long. I actually stayed the night overnight at my sister's in Johnson City, which was just about halfway. Probably 9 hours total.
Jeez.
Yeah. So jeez, I'm a little road weary. Made it back for the show. So here I am. Speaking of making the show, we've been playing around with a little artificial intelligence here. With every revolution in technology, there has always been some backlash and some, you know, obvious like revolutionary new applications. So, I mean, music is a great example. So you have the symphony that turns into, you know, over the course of a few generations, the rock and roll band.
Mm-hmm.
A few more generations, you have EDM, hip hop, et cetera, et cetera. And each point along the way, you have purists that go, well, that's not music. Well, that's not art. That's cheating. You know, you use synthesizers, you use samples. People say that's cheating. Well, I suppose you could make an argument one way or the other, but up until now, at least you could say, well, there is a human hand behind it all, or a human mind behind it all, no matter what kind of music it was. Well, now you have AI that can create music. And I guess you could say that, you know, the making of the AI technology is maybe an art in and of itself. So yeah, it will be wild to see how we differentiate or how we know what the difference is between human-generated content and AI-generated content.
Hmm.
That Summer there is definitely human-generated content.
That's true. Organic over here.
That's right. All natural.
Yeah, I'm curious what her world will look like. Like, I think about it. I was just thinking about it as we were talking. Like, the one thing AI can't do right now is hard work in the gym. Bringing it back to fitness. But AI can't do the work. The technology around how we do it or how we consume it, I suppose, will change. But can't beat hard work.
That's right.
I was working with a client today who was sandbagging a little bit. And I was like, well, either do it or you don't. You know, I don't know I suppose we could dive into like what truly motivates this person or whatever. But you and I both know when rubber hits the road, you either work or you don't. Motivation be damned, right? Mm-hmm. You show up. And if you're going to be there, you should probably do some stuff. You don't even have to do that much stuff, but the stuff that you do should probably be hard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Right.
Don't walk into the gym flat and stay flat.
Mm.
I don't care. At this point, again, rubber meets the road. If you're in the gym, if you walk through the doors, that was the hardest part, showing up. You showed up. Now, I can say that a bad workout's better than no workout at all. And we could just wipe our hands clean of this entire conversation. But if you're going to be in the gym and you're going to do the thing, you should probably fucking work.
Wise words from Andy Van.
I would consider myself a soft coach because I'm willing to coach, to negotiate, to say, like today I had a client that was working on her deadlifts and they looked really great at 145. I know she's got more in her, but I was like, well, let's do this. I was like, why don't we get to 145 and see how it feels? And then we'll decide if we want to go heavier than that. And after that 145, I was like, you tell me. We can either go to 155. She was doing fives at 145. I was like, we can either go to 155 and give me, I don't know, between one and five, because you've done it before. Or we can hang at 145 because we know you got it and it looks good and it feels good. So, like, we'll do fewer at a heavier weight or we'll stay here. I consider myself a soft coach. I don't throttle my clients unless I know for sure that they want to be throttled and that I know for sure that they've got it. But we're in this for the long haul. I'm playing the long game here. But there's that, I am still kind of pushing them a little bit. Like, 145 wasn't a piece of cake. So, anyway, point is, if you're gonna show up and you're gonna do the work, like, let's work.
Yeah.
AI can't do that. AI can't put in the work. It can only guide you and tell you what you should do or could do, but it can't make you do the work.
It can guide you. A little AI coach.
What's the there's a saying, and I had it on the tip of my tongue and then I lost it.
AI can't do the work.
Well, something, it wasn't leading horses to water or anything like that. It was something more along the lines of, oh, shit, I lost it. Anyway, it had something to do with, like, hard work and putting in the work or something. I don't remember.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard?
Thank you.
Is that it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Nothing happens without some effort, some elbow grease. You know, as obvious as that is to say, that's kind of a lost bit of common sense, it seems like, these days. You know, as I've mentioned before, you know, both my mom and my sister, are in the helping professions and work a lot with young college-age folks. And it seems like, you know, in this kind of younger generation, people are surprised when things are supposed to be hard. Speaking of things not being as easy as they used to be, Andy Van, you just turned 35.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put this artificial intelligence to the test. Let's log on here. Let's log on to ChatGPT and
see what she has to say.
See what she has to say. All right, I'm gonna put the computer here on the table. Not that I think you could read with a baby on your lap way over there anyway. So we type in, how to gain muscle for men over 35. Now, Andy, before we take a look at the artificially generated answer to this question, I'm curious on the all natural answers to this question. So what would you consider the top 1 to 3 things that you would need to check off here to answer this question? How to gain muscle for men over 35? And who would know better than a man like yourself who's over 35?
Lift weights.
Okay.
Go to sleep.
Mm.
Eat protein and veggies and carbs. Eat, what is it the saying? Eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
A little Michael Pollan action?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the basic summary of it. Before we get into what ChatGPT says, it amazes me still. I'm thinking about this whole AI technology, the development of just the overall fitness realm for the last 30, 40 years, right? Think like going way back to like the 70s and 80s to like the birth of like bodybuilding. It probably was earlier than that, maybe all the way back to the 1930s. There are some common denominators over the last 50 years that have not changed, really, that are the bedrock of success in fitness. And no matter what, every single year, there's this hack or this new way of doing things or intermittent fast, but don't eat carbs, but also don't eat before 8 p.m., but also sunlight your butthole at 6:30 in the morning or whatever. You get what I'm trying to say. There's like a bajillion hacks.
You should see me out on my patio here.
Everybody's been talking about it in the whole building. It's just, so, you know, going back to this question, it's one of those things that like, and I will admit, in my teens and 20s, I probably would have been way more susceptible. And also, these answers are boring. If I said, Zach, if you want to gain muscle like me when you hit 35,
bro,
you should lift weights really hard, and you should go the fuck to bed, and you should eat proteins and vegetables and drink your water.
Wow.
And you'd be like, ah, there's got to be...
Come on, bro.
There's got to be a secret.
What's that meme?
The secret is drugs beyond that.
The Lord of the Rings meme?
Oh, keep your secrets.
Yeah, okay, you keep your secrets.
Yeah. Yeah, beyond that, either have parents that are yoked to the gills or do drugs, or both.
Mm. All right, well, let's see if drugs made the list. Let's see.
I wonder if ChatGPT. I doubt it, because I don't. Anyway, let's see.
We'll see. Okay. How to gain muscle for men over 35. ChatGPT says, gaining muscle as a man over 35 can be more challenging than it was in your younger years due to changes in hormone levels and metabolism. However, with a few adjustments to your diet and exercise routine, it is still possible to build muscle and improve your physique. Here are some tips on how to gain muscle for men over 35. Number one, tren.
That's not what it says.
Just kidding.
No, I was going to laugh if it really did say that.
Number one, lift weights. Resistance training is the most effective way to build muscle. Focus on compound exercises like squats, deadlifts, bench press, and rows that work multiple muscle groups at once. It's hard to argue with that. All right, ChatGPT
is knocking it out of the park right now.
You're one for one. Number two, increase your protein intake. Consuming enough protein is essential for muscle growth. Aim for at least 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight per day, and make sure to include high quality sources like lean meats, fish, eggs, and dairy.
I'll give it that one. I will say we're finding that 1 gram per pound of body weight is on the higher side for most people. You and I could probably, I don't even know if I need that much. Well, let me back up. I don't know if I very easily can eat that much without taking like 3 protein shakes a day.
Sure.
So I'll leave it at that. I think 1.0 grams per pound of body weight is on the higher side for most people. If you're a pretty high-performing athlete, I think that's probably about right. So I'll give ChatGPT on that one. I'll give it credit, yeah.
Also, in the interest of maximizing results.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I mean, more protein is, it's only a bad idea in the context of what might be reasonably sustainable for you to actually eat.
Right. Well, and also, like, where you're getting it.
Yeah.
Like, if you can down 3 protein shakes a day, then more power to you. I just don't like to. I try not to. And then what? Like, I have tuna packs that I can eat. The flavored tuna that comes in, like, the little aluminum foil package or whatever.
A little Sunkist.
Yeah, it's great.
Sunkist action.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
There's those. And then, you know, you could probably just, like, get deli turkey and roll it up and shove that in your mouth.
Mm.
But beyond that, you know, again, it goes back to sustainable. I could make, you know, like turkey sausage or turkey bacon and eggs in the morning, but 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't want to do that. So I have oatmeal with protein mix and berries in it. Dude, I made overnight oats the other day. Let me preface this with, I've done overnight oats before. Not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like cold oatmeal, especially when it's like 30 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Cold oatmeal doesn't do it for me. However, this one was good. I had my oatmeal and my oat milk and my blueberries and my protein mix, a little bit of honey, shaved almonds, and cinnamon.
Mm.
All of that. And what I did is I put it in a glass container with a lid and I shook it up real hard, threw it in the fridge overnight. I actually very much enjoyed it. So I might be doing that again.
Mm. Love it.
But that, again, at 4 o'clock in the morning, reasonably sustainable is that. Not, I'm going to whip up some eggs. Also, my family would fucking hate me if I was slinging eggs and clanging pans at 4 o'clock in the morning.
None of the women in your household would appreciate that.
No, my dog would, because she'd be getting scraps. But,
oh, that's a good
but my wife and this baby would not.
Number 3, fuel your body with the right nutrients. In addition to protein, make sure to eat plenty of complex carbohydrates, healthy fats, and micronutrients like vitamins and minerals to support muscle growth and recovery. Fuel your body with the right nutrients.
I mean, can't argue against that. Now, there might be somebody listening to this podcast who's a keto person, and if keto works for you, great. I honestly, like, my fat loss has been decent. I had a birthday weekend. I'm up right now, so I'm not going to worry about it. But I'm finding that my workout, like, unless I've, like, underslept, like, last night I didn't sleep great, unless I'm really underslept, my workouts are so much better now that I'm eating carbs, like, at least, like, a healthy dose of carbs between my oatmeal and then some, like, about a cup worth of white rice cooked. A cup of cooked white rice with my lunches, dude, I can sling some weight.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like putting in the effort, it's a lot easier when you got something to burn. And without carbs, man, it is a slog. Oh, going back to the protein thing, I need to do more research on this, but I think if you're under consuming protein, you probably will find that your muscle strengthening, muscle building endeavors will be limited, but also like your overall energy levels. I feel like people who consume higher levels of protein tend to have like more energy to like do stuff. So if you're, I'll just package it up this way. If you don't know how much protein you're consuming in a day, you could track it for, let's say, a week, or let's say 2 or 3 weekdays and a weekend. Because maybe you are hitting your 1 gram per pound of body weight, but I would venture a guess. I would wager a bet that 9 out of 10 people are not.
Right.
And 9 out of 10 is being conservative. I want to say like 9.9 out of 10 are not getting enough protein.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's also something to, you know, this idea I've heard that you eat more meat, you act more like a predator.
Hmm. Like in the movie Predator?
Maybe more like a lion or a tiger.
Okay. How about a what's the black cat? Panther.
Panther. Mm.
You want to be a panther, Summer? She's like, no, I want a nap. Now, see what she's doing here?
So cute.
Gains.
I'm glad you brought that up, because point number 4. Is get enough rest and recovery.
Boom.
Rest days are just as important as training days when it comes to building muscle. Make sure to get enough sleep, take rest days as needed, and prioritize recovery activities like foam rolling, stretching, and massage.
You know what I love about this is the whole like gaining strength over 35 is I wish that I could go back in time to when I was like 25 and I could shake myself and be like, go the fuck to bed. Go to sleep. I feel like through my teens and 20s, I missed so much sleep for dumb reasons. Just like staying up watching TV. And now my favorite thing in the world, absolute favorite thing in the world, she takes a bath around 7:15. We do one more bottle. She winds down and she goes to bed. So like she's in bed sometimes around 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. And I go to bed right after that. And I love it. Is my favorite thing to go to bed at like 8. I love it. Not me in my 20s.
Nope.
8 o'clock, I've been like, no way.
Nope. Yeah, no, it's funny. My dad is notorious for going to bed super early, and my younger sister is a lot like my dad. I kind of take after my mom in a lot of ways. She takes after my dad in a lot of ways. And one of the things, as we're getting older, is she is going to bed super early. And I mean, obviously, to be fair, I'm right there as well. But
dude, like in the middle of summer when the days get longer, there will definitely be days where I go to bed and the sun is still out. There's like still daylight outside.
Oh, yeah. Last but not least, number 5, be patient and consistent. Building muscle takes time and effort, so don't get discouraged if you don't see results right away. Stick to your training and nutrition plan consistently and be patient with your progress. Remember, it's never too late to start building muscle and improving your health and fitness. With the right approach, men over 35 can still achieve significant gains in muscle strength, in muscle mass and strength.
Well, and we've talked about this before, the most new muscle you can synthesize naturally in a month is about 2 pounds. And that's doing all the things right. That's being consistent. That's moving some weight, going to bed, eating well. But if 2 pounds a month is what you can pack on, that's 24 pounds in a year. That's pretty good. Like, if you're a 200-pound man, that's 224 pounds of pure muscle. Now, you'll probably, if you're eating in a caloric surplus, which you ought to be, you'll probably gain a little bit of fat as well. But, I mean, if you can gain a couple pounds of muscle in a month, doing great. That's huge.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just mentioning that one of my newer clients is a hairstylist, and she came to me by recommendation, by referral, from an older couple who I've trained for a few years now. And when I was talking to the hairdresser about the husband who I train, I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, because I was kind of like, you know, referencing like, these are some of the exercises that, you know, David and Sandy like to do and blah, blah, blah. And these are the things that we're working on. And granted, that couple are in their mid to late 60s. And the hairdresser mentioned, oh yeah, I could tell after a while, David was really putting in some good work because I, as his hairdresser, noticed his shoulders were bigger every time he came in to get a haircut. His traps were bigger every time he came in to get a haircut. You know, that kind of thing. And I thought, well, isn't that cool and encouraging to hear? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like over 35, over 40, over 50, over 60. I mean, granted, on the one hand, there are obvious, obstacles to getting super duper yoked the older you get. But at the same time, there's no secret other than the top 5 tips you learned here. Regardless of how old you are, unless you've been training for a number of years and years and years and years, don't be discouraged. It's never too late to start, because those newbie gains can come in whether you're 18 or whether you're 68.
I was going to elaborate on the strength training thing. I had a new client show up last week who wants to get, like, he's very uncomfortable with, he's in his 50s, so he actually qualifies for this conversation. He's in his 50s, and he feels pretty good about his bench press. He feels pretty good about his overhead press. He feels so not confident about his barbell back squat that he won't do any more than just the bar. Now, this guy does martial arts like 5 days a week, but really, when he barbell back squats, he only does the bar. And was very nervous, anxious about his deadlift as well. A couple things to point out. He was very timid about being super sore. You're getting a cute little picture. He's asleep on the job. He was very timid about being super sore. And I was like, well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. You're going to be sore.
Oh, boy.
Now, so, and I swear I'm coming back around to this chat GPT thing. You and I both know that if you haven't been training very hard, when you start adding plates, you're going to be sore. It's just part of it. Like, get over that initial hump. Be consistent enough where you're not super sore every single time you go work out. Like, you're just going to have to bite the bullet. Like, it's just part of it. Get over that initial hump and start and just be consistent. And then the soreness should go away. The way that I was kind of coaching him, he'll be somebody that will come in and see me probably once or twice a month for like a form check and then work on some technique and some like programming things. But he was like, you know, I do martial arts 4 days a week. I'm 50 to whatever, how old ever he was. He's like, I don't want to be super sore and be unable to do, you know, martial arts. But I want to train 4 days a week. And I was like, all right, well, I think a couple things. I was like, I think we should keep the intensity relatively high and the volume really low. So we're talking like two or three exercises a workout. And I think you should have, in terms of like technique, like I think you should do a air quotes heavy day with barbell bench press. And maybe an accessory on like another day would be like close grip bench or just barbell bench for volume. And conversely, maybe do an overhead press for volume one day, overhead press for strength work another day. And I was like, the volume work was in part for like muscle building, but also in part just like technique, just like grease in the groove. But he was like, I just want to be stronger. I was like, okay, well, strength is a skill. So if you want to be strong and you want to lift heavy weights, you should lift heavy weights. If you want to build some muscle, you should do some hypertrophy work. The point being, going back to what ChatGPT was saying about like lifting weights, I think it's really easy to get lost in the, well, should I do, you know, strong first 5x5, or should I do West Side, or should I do, what's the guy, fives?
Starting strength.
Should I do starting strength? Should I do more reps? Should I do more weight? Yada, yada, yada. It's like, what do you want to do? What do you want out of this? What's your goal? You want to be strong? Plates. Just add some weight and do, I don't know, six or fewer. That's what I told him. I was like, do six or fewer.
Yeah.
If you want, you know.
Yeah.
And at 50-something, like I was like, at 50-something, I don't think it matters if you do like a single or even a double. So like, say, let's say 3 to 6 reps. I was like, find something that feels good, strong for 3 to 6 reps. Have one or two in the tank. And then every other week, because again, he was nervous about being like overdoing it. I was like, every other week, if you feel good about it, add a little bit of weight or a rep or two.
Yeah. Well, the higher frequency, 4 to 5 days a week, is actually more conducive to being less sore.
Right.
Because you have the opportunity to break your training volume up into more sessions.
Right.
So, you know, if theoretically, you know, you need to do 30 squats a week at a certain intensity to continue getting stronger, you could do all 30 of those squats in one day,
And get
a gnarly 3x10 or something. Or you could do, you know, what's 5 divided by 30?
Six.
Six? Why don't you just do one set of 6 squats every training day?
Yeah.
One set of 6? Obviously, depending on how heavy it is, but even still within reason, it's not going to make you sore. But you keep that higher frequency long term, that's how you get super duper strong with minimal soreness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go back to the AI. Who is the best personal trainer in Nashville, Tennessee?
It should. Okay, I'm curious how. Did he come up with a name?
No. As a AI language model, I don't have access to real-time information on personal trainers in Nashville. However, I can suggest some ways to find the best personal trainer in Nashville.
Let me Google that for you.
Check online directories, ask for recommendations, contact gyms, look for certification and experience. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, how about this? Who is Andy Van Grinsven? Without more context, it is difficult for me to determine who Andy Van Grinsven is. Could you please provide me with more information or context about this person? Maybe not today.
Yeah, this feels like an off-air project.
ChatGPT ChatGPT doesn't know who I am either.
Okay. Yeah. Building muscle over 35.
What's another fun question?
It's the boring things like that. Like sleeping and training and eating food. The stuff that people don't want to do. Is it just our natural inclination to not do hard work? Like, aside from a few, like, freaks, who do you know that isn't sometimes maybe looking for a shortcut, for, like, an edge? Like, who just likes to go into the gym and just eat shit all the time? Sometimes I feel like it. But not all the time. Not every time, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, if you have like a masochistic streak.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure for sure you and I run into those people every Sunday. There are those people. But like, I don't know. Is it just our innate nature to try to find shortcuts?
Of course it is.
Okay.
What is fire?
A shortcut.
What's a wheel?
Oh, man.
What's a computer? What's an AI?
Yeah. It's a tool. Tools.
It's a shortcut. In one way or the other, we could call it shortcut looking or just trying to be as effective and efficient as possible.
Well, and to, you know, some of those things can backfire, like our, you know, need for a car to get anywhere in this town means that we don't have to walk anywhere or ride a bike somewhere. Like, I didn't ride my bike over here. I didn't throw her in a backpack and ride my bicycle. I would love to be able to do that, but this city is not conducive for that. I have to have a car for just the sake of the infrastructure, but also the safety of me and her. There's no way I'm going to ride a bike over here.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Which is unfortunate because, I mean, for a lot of our technological advances, we don't have to work that hard to do anything. Did you know... I did know this, but there was an NPR article on this today that colon cancer is on the rise in 20s and 30s and 40-year-olds.
Mm.
They used to wait till you were about 50 to do your first like colonoscopy. They have now moved that to 45, and they're finding colon cancer rates are higher in 20 and 30 and 40-year-olds than they used to be. They think it'll be up 90% by 2030.
Oh, gosh.
And some of that had to do with nutrition and lack of physical activity.
Yeah. Our problems, many of our modern-day problems, are side effects of being more efficient than what our bodies are attuned to.
Right.
We can eat so much food that we literally just have too much of a good thing. We can travel to Japan and back on an airplane without even moving our legs.
Right. Well, and you know, without like sounding like a weird paleo purist, whatever.
You are starting to sound like the Liver King, Andy Van.
It is interesting to me for all of our every like biohack. It's like you're trying to hack, air quotes, hack millions of years of human evolution. I have serious doubts that most people, aside from our more obvious like hacking communication, I have a cell phone, hacking, you know, travel. I have a car or a plane to fly to Japan and back. But like in terms of overall fitness and health, it's pretty basic. Eat food, not a ton. And move a lot. Sidebar, I like how like most of the paleo people make our ancestors out to be like, oh, they were just like all the time, like on the move. And they probably did move, they moved a lot, but they also moved very little when they didn't have to. Like, they chilled. They hunted, and then they like chillaxed under a tree. Like, they were not just out and about walking around like, I'm just gonna go for a walk. Because that burned energy they didn't have.
Right. That's how the human body evolved to be such an efficient machine. Kill and rest.
Kill and rest.
Yeah.
That should be, you know what? Every time we walk into the gym on Saturday mornings, I'm just going to look at you on the Airdyne and be like, kill and rest.
Let's Let the meat do the talking.
I feel like we should get t-shirts now.
That's honestly,
kill and rest.
I am all about that. I am all about that.
If anybody, I'm going to have a poster made now. Just walk through the doors of my gym and I'd be like, just kill and then rest.
We need to have some sort of very like cute, like cartoon to go along with it. I'm imagining like a purple teddy bear with a butcher knife.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Kill and rest.
Okay.
All right. I feel like we're onto something.
Well, it sounded like you were almost kind of quoting, speaking of paleo, Jurassic Park, which is you can't, Dr. Grant said something to the effect of you can't slam, you can't short circuit 65 million years of evolution and expect everything to be fine.
Right.
You know, it was obviously like the premonition of, you created this monster, it's going to get out.
Right.
Yeah. You know, again, one of the many
life lessons learned from Jurassic Park.
Yes. So I asked ChatGPT here, how can I learn to love hard work? Which was kind of your original posit.
Okay.
And true to form, she gave me top 5 tips for learning how to love hard work. Would you venture a guess what any one of them might be?
I have no idea. I'm actually genuinely curious.
Okay. Well, here we go. Here are some tips to help you learn to love hard work. Number 1, focus on the process, not just the outcome. Instead of focusing solely on the end result, try to enjoy the process of working hard and the satisfaction that comes with making progress towards your goals. Remember when we had this talk here about motivation, and one of the things that I said, I think it was something to the effect of, I try to shorten the positive feedback loop so that like every rep I consider a success in its own right, and that kind of helps to brainwash me to get into like an upward spiral of momentum.
So it's kind of like you're playing, like you're like gambling in Vegas and you're just winning.
Sure.
Just that dopamine hit of like win, 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 win.
That's it.
Interesting.
That's it. I think it can kind of be fun to experiment in brainwashing yourself in kind of a weird way. You know what I mean? Just like goofy, what you might kind of consider like goofy, irrational self-talk. You know, just pumping your tires, as you might say. But yeah, that's one way of focusing on the process, not just the outcome, because the process in and of itself is where you get the satisfaction. And if you don't consciously step back to recognize that, then you're going to fall off the path there. So the other side of that spectrum is being so over the top on the process that you're celebrating each and every rep. And I don't know, I might be speaking out of school here, but I would imagine like baby Summer, like every time she learns a word, you're gonna celebrate it, right? Every time she takes a step until it becomes, you know, second nature. She heard me talking about her. Or how about sobriety? You quit drinking? You quit drugs every day. Celebrate another day of sobriety. Something like that.
That's why it's important to sort of reframe sometimes to be like, I get to work out today. I get to work with clients today. I get to do my job. Like, it's an opportunity. It's not a task. It's an opportunity. Now, some days it's going to feel like a task, and some days it's going to be a task. But knowing that it's just one itty-bitty notch in a long line of consistency, I think that is a win in and of itself. If you can show up on the worst day and do something, then you're adding to that momentum. And I think that's a win. Showing up is a win for most people. Mm. I do want hard work. If you're going to be there, let's work. But showing up is a win. So if you get the opportunity to show up, take it.
Heck yeah.
I used to do this. I used to randomly, like, I'd be busy at work or whatever, and I'd have an hour to work out, and I'd be like, you know what? I'm gonna take a day off. I'm gonna punt this workout to tomorrow. And then inevitably, on the next day, something would come up, and I couldn't work out. So now I'm 2 days out. And then the next day, I had a doctor's appointment, and so I'm 3 days out. I used to do this a lot, even 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Not a lot, but enough to remember. And now, even on my worst days, unless I'm like hurting, and last week I did have a day where I was like physically just beat down, so I punted a workout. But now, because my time is getting limited, especially with her around, I'm like, I've got an hour, make something of it. Doesn't have to be a fucking winner, but put some effort in and see what you got. Because it's, you know, showing up, hitting it is better than not doing anything at all.
Well, point number two here is something that I think you were hitting on a few minutes ago. Find meaning and purpose in your work. When you understand the meaning and purpose behind your hard work, it can make the effort more fulfilling and enjoyable. Maybe working to stack that college and wedding fund for your daughter is giving some more meaning and purpose into your work.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I get a lot of purpose. Like when my clients hit PRs, or if something that they've been working on for a while, like finally clicks, or when it's more meaningful than that, it's outside the gym. It's when all the work we've been doing translates into some sort of meaningful something outside of the gym. That's a win. Like when a client's like, this weekend, I was able to move my luggage in and out of the car without help. Or one of my clients brought in a 48-pack of water, like water bottles, as a birthday gift. They donated, gave me water bottles for the gym, which is a great gift. A 48-pack. So it's a big container, big thing of it. And she was like, I don't need help. Like, I offered to help. And she was like, I don't need help. I want to move it all the way to the back of the gym where you store stuff. Because I can do it. I'm capable of doing it. She even laughed. So when she was loading it or getting it out of the cart to scan or back in the cart or whatever, everyone's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Let someone help you. And she's like, I don't need help. I am capable of doing it. Those are my favorite wins. Those put so much more meaning into my work when it's not, I mean, I love PRs, don't get me wrong, but when it makes, when life outside of the gym comes together because of the physical qualities that we work on in the gym, that's the win.
Andy Van, this artificial intelligence has nothing on you. Number four, embrace challenges and setbacks. Instead of seeing challenges and setbacks as failures, view them as opportunities to learn and grow. The resilience and perseverance you build through overcoming challenges can be rewarding in themselves. Embracing things.
What have you learned? I was going to say, what have you learned from a setback?
Well, things like breaking one's leg or snapping one's bicep. You embrace challenges. I mean, consider COVID times. You know, you had to make a big pivot with your business, as probably pretty much everybody did. It's a cliche thing. The obstacle is the way, right? So
I need to remember that next time I'm in the gym and I've got four people and it feels busy and it makes me anxious and I'm not going to do a good job.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is an opportunity to learn how to do this well.
Right. Right, exactly. And it's really the only option that you have, because there really are no failures. There are just opportunities to learn and grow. You know, it's pretty cliche to say, but I don't know, something that I've really learned from a real failure or a setback. I don't know if I would consider breaking my leg a failure.
You couldn't ski. Couldn't ski good.
Actually, technically you're right. If I had better judgment, I would have skied farther away from that ski lift pole. And Summer's laughing at me for doing such a thing. A setback. Yeah, well, a great example is that I wrote the Kettlebell Foundations book when I was laid up on the couch. And that turned into like my flagship kettlebell program and product. And for those who have been following along, I just recently relaunched that into a online course, you know? So it's just, you know, these things kind of build off of each other, and then that led to the next project and the next thing and yada, yada. So you always got to keep moving. Maybe not in the same direction that you had planned, but you always got to keep moving. And I think training is a great microcosm of that, because there's so many things to do. And eventually we're all going to hit some sort of setback. Best case scenario, you just plateau on a certain lift. Worst case scenario,
you tear a bicep.
Then you really have to pivot, you know? So yeah, you get new goals. You work on relative strengths and weaknesses. And yeah, I mean, good training really is a lesson in being flexible in your approach and always making some sort of progress in light of setbacks. Because you're not a computer. You can't program yourself to be, unlike the AI here, you can't program yourself to be bigger, faster, stronger, smarter.
Not yet.
Not until we get into genetic engineering. But yeah, until then, you have to put in work. And when work meets real life, yeah, you hit a brick wall sometimes. Last but not least.
Is that cool?
Summer is paying very close attention.
Last but not least.
To the last point. Practice self-care. Taking care of your physical, emotional, and mental health is essential for staying motivated and energized to work hard. So take care of yourself. You cannot give that which you do not have. And if you're burnt out, you're not doing anybody any good. And it was just like how I was mentioning, you know, one of my new clients here is this world-renowned hairstylist. And the past couple weeks, she's been telling me, man, cutting back on client loads. I gotta take more time off. I gotta take more time for me. You can't spend your whole life working. That whole thing. So whatever you gotta do to recharge, keep those tires pumped, you gotta do it.
I'm not good at that, but I like it. I'm trying to be better at it.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I think for many of us, training is a part of that.
Yeah.
And making sure that training doesn't become a chore is a big deal.
Right.
Which, you know, that's why trying new things, shifting your goals, changing things up in some sort of way is always important, so that training remains fun and something that you do for you.
Right. I think, too, that's why sometimes it's kind of nice to not have a specific goal. I do like having a specific goal to work on in the gym. And sometimes it's kind of nice to not, because then there aren't there. I like creative constraints. This is going to fly in the face of kind of what we were just talking about, like having creative constraints, like setbacks and stuff, learning how to roll with it. At the same time, I guess my training goal right now is fat loss, but that means anything goes. I can walk into gym five. What you and I have talked about this a dozen times. How am I feeling? What do I need to do? What do I want to do? And what's available? But like anything goes, as long as it's hard work. Whether we do a machine row or a cable row or a one arm row, who gives a shit? Just fucking work, you know? So we walk in, see what we can do, see what we can get. Hey, lady, I know you're sleepy tired.
Well, with that, we hope that you've gotten some value out of these top tips and advices from the algorithm.
From the internet, not us. And you know what? Sometimes you don't believe us, so just ask ChatGPT and then come back and tell us what it said. How do I get jacked when I'm over 35? And let me know what they say, because you'll probably listen to them and not me.
Yeah.
ChatGPT, whatever's going to be like, you should sleep. And they'd be like, it's crazy. It said I should sleep more. And be like, that's wild.
Man, don't you love it when you tell someone something once, twice, maybe a dozen times, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and then they hear it from the internet, and suddenly it's all new again.
Yeah. I was reading on the internet that if I wanted to get stronger, I should lift heavier weights. And I'm over here like, I know. I've been trying to stack plates on that deadlift for months. And you keep fighting me.
With that, this has been the A to Z No BS Show featuring AI and Baby Summer.
God.
About as artificial and organic as it gets. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.